This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll make sure you're fully insured, and they'll do everything they can to get you the best price to save you money. That's because customer service means everything to them. And again, people at Purdy Insurance do a great job of customer service. It means everything to them. Purdy Insurance. Todd was at the Southern Columbia game against Troy. Tell us what you're seeing.
The streak is over, emphatically.
Yeah.
Ended up 69-28 for Troy. It was 14-0 2 minutes and 40 seconds into the game, so that's obviously never good. Southern also gave up two kick returns and an interception return, which also didn't help matters.
How good's Troy?
Really good. Really darn good. I think they have a real good shot to win a state title. They're big, they're fast. They run the option a little bit, which is what really hurt Southern Columbia, because not a lot of teams run the true option anymore. And what hurt Southern was they would fake to the fullback and they'd bury the fullback and the quarterback would just keep it. He had 5 carries for 153 yards in the game. Mm-hmm. They struggled with the option. It's going to be interesting. Troy gets Warrior Run this week. Warrior Run's going to be in their first ever district championship game for football. So I hate to be Debbie Downer. I don't give them much of a shot. This is a really good Troy football team that has a chance to be in Cumberland Valley in December and has a real good shot to win 2A.
How about Lewisburg Danville? Is that it? That's the matchup?
That's the matchup. For people that have been around a long time, it has a feel of 2010. Both teams were undefeated mm-hmm. back then. Lewisburg has that one loss to Shamokin, which is also still alive. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. It's the two best running backs in the area. Danville's Bo Sheptock has 27 touchdowns on the ground and I think 1,700 yards, and Jeremiah Davis is up over 1,900 yards and 26 touchdowns on the ground. I think I think both teams are going to want to do the same thing on Friday night, establish the run. I think Danville's passing game is a little better, but you can't count out Lewisburg right now. They're playing as well as anybody, and defensively they're as good as anybody in the area. It's one I'm looking forward to. It's where I will be on Friday night, and it should be a fun one.
Interesting. We'll talk to Greg Wetzel about all this on Thursday.
I mean, they dominated. Lewisburg did. The defense didn't give up an offensive touchdown. Mount Carmel's only score was a block punt for a score when it was already 18-0. Lewisburg ran for like 350 yards in the game and played real well. Greg's going to be excited on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Very interesting. I thought the commentary by Dan Patrick was outstanding because he that's how close the NFL is, and yet the teams with the better records are finding ways to win. The Steelers yesterday, I mean, I'm not even going to bother talking about the Eagles game, and the Eagles are playing against a second-string quarterback, and there's just a lot of things. There's a lot of things wrong with Dallas, but you don't have a fighting chance unless Dak Prescott's out there. So that game was a given that they were going to win the game. And for anybody who says, well, you need to give them credit, I mean, they won. That's all you need to do in the NFL. They won. That's the credit I'll give them. But, I mean, let's be honest here. You can jump up and down about Dallas, but that's not the Cowboys that we're used to seeing.
That team is broken.
Right. I mean, they're a broken team that doesn't have their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, which makes it worse. Okay. Right. And Philadelphia can't worry about that. They just have to take care of Philadelphia. They did. That's exactly what you need to do in the NFL. Now, I think their matchup on Thursday night, man, I am locked in for that. Now, that's a game. I know Washington lost yesterday to Pittsburgh, but that's a game on Thursday night. I'm really, really looking forward to that. As soon as I'm done with the talk show on Thursday with Andy and Tom, because they're going to do the show this week, the two coordinators. I'm looking forward to it. The Steeler game, when Warren fumbled at the 1 yard line, because when the play happened, I was like, oh, well, that's a terrific run. It's a first down, the whole thing, because it wasn't a mad scramble for the ball. I thought, oh. Then he said he fumbled. I'm like, whoa. He fumbled. Wow. I thought, oh, no, that's one of those losing plays that, like, you sit there and go, that's the kind of play you lose on. Okay? And then to come back and win the game, and the throw that Russell Wilson makes to Mike Williams, you're like, wow. Off balance, falling away. But we've seen him make that throw before. Some people just have that ability. Now, when the suit's done, it's been by accident. But,
He's like the hefty lefty, rest in peace, Jared Lorenzen.
Yes. So, great play. But you look at Kansas City. Okay. They block a field goal at the end. Wow. Detroit, like, I'll freely admit, I went to bed at halftime last night. It was, 23 to, 7 when I went to sleep? And, look, after doing the game on Saturday and getting back, I mean, I got home, and those of you who traveled to the game got home later than I did, but I got home at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay? All right. And so, and I had to be up early on Sunday for a couple of reasons. And I was tired, so I went to bed at halftime. And I wake up today, I'm like, you mean Detroit won? I mean, Detroit. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions, and they won. Sam Darnold threw 3 interceptions, and they won. There are more, and you know what? I feel like there. Don't you feel, Todd, there are more interceptions this year?
Yeah, because they. I mean, Jordan Love's thrown a boatload as well.
Yeah,
It's just, it's weird because it seems like the Brett Favre days of 35 touchdowns and 24 interceptions were kind of gone, and now this year, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I saw the graphic pop up that it was the first time since 1971 that somebody's thrown 5 or more interceptions in a game and the team has won.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Now, one was at the end of the first half. You're just throwing it deep. You know what I mean? That, yeah. To me, that kind of interception really, in my head, doesn't count. Okay? But I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, it's like you're just throwing it up there to see if you can get some sort of miracle. They pick it up. Okay, fine. The guy gets tackled, the half's over. Okay, we're done. All right, that's one of them. But Yeah.
The Texans have lost some weird games, too, this year.
Yeah, no kidding, including to, of all teams, the Jets,
yes,
who put together another incredible performance yesterday in their loss to Arizona. Hey, let's give the Jets credit, okay? They're a mess. Okay. Yeah.
Somebody asked if they could fire Robert Saleh again.
Oh, that's just cruel. Saleh's with Green Bay now, right?
Yeah, like I think I read maybe a week or two afterwards, just to get out of New York and away from everybody.
Green Bay would do that.
I was going to say, I don't know if you can pick another location in the NFL to get much further away from New York City.
I've been to Green Bay once, and that included going to a Packers game. So I went to Lambeau, which they played Tampa Bay. What a great, great experience. I love that town. That's a beautiful, small city. I mean, it's a city of about 100,000, okay? So it's a big town. So it's about 100,000, 110,000, something like that. Really nice. I like that a lot. Getting away, that'd be a great way to get away, because in a lot of ways it brings with it, quote, normal suburban life.
I think they had pictures of him walking into the grocery store 2 days after he was fired and in New York City. So I think that would get a little old quite quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay, Saturday, I saw exactly what I thought I would see, okay? Based on what I saw in practice and so forth, I pretty much got what I thought I was going to see. I thought they would come out, play well. I thought they had a chance to be sharp. They were sharp. And I think that's a big plus moving forward, because you want to get better. Did Penn State get better? Yes. That's a bottom line. Across the board, they got off to a great start. They scored on every possession they had in the first half. This was a limited possession game. There were only 8 possessions in the entire game for each team. Right? I mean, in your limited possession, and of the possessions you had, you scored 4 first-half touchdowns. You scored a 5th touchdown in the second half. You ended the game at the 8-yard line on your 8th possession, right? You never punted. Never punted. Coleman, Jack Ham and I have talked about Coleman over and over and over and over and over again for the last month and a half, 6 weeks. Coleman came into the game averaging 103 yards per game. Tough, rugged, first contact, boom. And as I said on the show on Friday, the key is, instead of point A, point B, get him to do a couple things going side to side. Remember I talked about that? What did they do? They got him side to side. He ended up with 24 yards and 2.2 yards per carry. We know that Williams, the backup, we said in the pregame he was going to play. And the decision was made by Jed Fish to play him the entire second half. You can see why he's the future of the program. His escapability is tremendous.
Man, he hits that top end. He is fast. He can scoot.
He's fast. They also had 2 field goals.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, again, there's a bottom line. I mean, to all that, 2 field goals. Okay. And but you can see what he can do. I mean, Boston, they took out of the game. His 9 touchdown catches on the season, led the Big Ten in touchdown catches. But I want to get into something. By the way, Penn State, Minnesota is a 3:30 game. That's going to be on CBS. So it'll be back-to-back CBS games for Purdue this Saturday and Minnesota the week after. I want to get very quickly to the strength of schedule. And people are saying, it's not the best schedule. What the heck are you talking about? Now you're playing USC, UCLA, Washington. And part of the reasons they have the records they have is Penn State's beaten all three. But that's a step up in competition from where you were before across the board. Those West Coast teams are good teams. The travel has taken a lot out of people. You should see the records of West Coast to East Coast and East Coast to West Coast. I mean, it's been stunning. And Washington, let's just call it the way it is. Washington got thoroughly, completely ripped off in its schedule. Because not only do they have to play Penn State on a Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific, they've got to come back and play home on Friday night this week. Do you know that?
I did not.
That's wrong. I'm sorry, that's wrong.
I mean, they probably don't even have their feet back under them from the travel until today.
They probably got back at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, like, oh.
Right, because they had to go to Harrisburg first. Right. They had to go to Harrisburg first to play the game, to get back.
They at least get an escort out of the traffic, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they get a police escort. Now they're going to play UCLA, which, oh, by the way, UCLA is playing its best football of the season.
Yeah, they're talking about a bowl game for them all of a sudden.
Well, let's give credit where credit's due. They're 4-5 right now. But let's give credit where credit's due. Deshaun Foster, but it's like, oh, well, what are they doing, the whole thing? Eric Bieniemy, what are they doing? Guess what? UCLA's playing a lot better right now. And it really started with the Penn State game. I thought the end of the Penn State game, you know, Penn State's dominated the game. It's, what, 27-3? Okay? And Penn State's got their backups in, and they went on, what, that 8-minute drive to close out the game against Penn State's twos and threes, but they kept playing. I think they, you know, it kind of brought them back a little bit. And look, Washington's undefeated at home, but they both have the same record in the Big Ten. They're both 3-4. And when you look at UCLA, they've won their last three games. Right. So after the Penn State game, so Penn State dominates them. Okay, it's finals 27-11, but they got that last touchdown two-point conversion against Penn State's 2-3s, which I think gave them a little bit of confidence. They then went home, and Minnesota had to rally to beat them in the Rose Bowl. But then they beat Rutgers, at Rutgers. They won at Nebraska, and they beat Iowa at home. Good for them. I mean, that's great. And they'll take on Washington. This will be Friday night, this game. It's going to be at 9 o'clock. That's the Fox game of the week. But that's a ripoff to make a team play in the East about as late as you can play in the East at 8 o'clock. Okay? Which is 5 Pacific. Make them go all the way back, which means they've got to go to Harrisburg because of the weight of the plane to get out of here to go back. Right, boom, get back to Seattle maybe 7 in the morning, and they get ready for another game. At least it's an opponent they know. And this Washington coaching staff does know the UCLA personnel because they were at Arizona. Right, so they do know. But this is one of those. I praise the Big Ten for how they've scheduled, because it's a difficult thing to do, but this is one of the ones where I think is a ripoff for this team. I do. So, and then a really interesting one this weekend to me is going to be Nebraska USC. Where is USC? Where are they? You know? And I'm going to be interested to see what they do. Because, I mean, USC is going to go with Jordan Maiva at quarterback. They've had a bye week. Nebraska, which got off to such a great start, has lost three in a row. Indiana, Ohio State, UCLA. And then Maryland Rutgers will be another one I look at, too. Rutgers had a terrific win over Minnesota Saturday. Played really, really well. Minnesota has a bye week, by the way, in case you're wondering. But that kind of sums up the weekend, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we hit all the major points.
I hope it sums it up. I know we have Mike Poorman on a little bit later today. Tomorrow, Matt Cotrillo. Can't imagine what he'd be angry at.
I'm sure he'll find something.
You know what's interesting about him? It's almost like he doesn't have to invent things to be angry about. He actually is angry.
Hey, he's pretty mellow in the rest of his life. It's probably where he gets it all out of.
Oh, wife's awesome. Kids are awesome. Right? Now, if we poll them, we'll have to ask them how awesome they think their lives are. I don't know. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. I'm going to talk about the two-loss pool, the one-loss pool, and the no-loss pool. Tomorrow night, they'll get out the new rankings. And now, you've got a game between Tennessee and Georgia coming up. That's very interesting in my mind. Very interesting. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Time or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, I went with Ford, which was a great choice. Love the Explorer I bought. Love it. And the buying experience was okay, but I'll tell you, here's the buying experience. So what are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for SUV, Ford. I kind of had locked in an Explorer. They're like, okay, well, let's go over here. Here's our selection here. Now, this one has this, this one has that, this one has this, this one has that. What are you specifically looking for? I said, well, I'm looking for this and this. Now, one of them did not have, I really wanted the navigation system on it. They said, well, you can use the phone on this one, but this one has it built in. Now, did they try to steer me to one or the other? Nope, it was all my choice. That's the buying experience. That was the buying experience. That was it. And that's the way they operate. And then, in terms of putting it together with the financing, couldn't have been any better. Yeah, I'd like to get bumper to bumper. 72,000 miles, 6 years. They're like, okay, here you go. This is what it, this how it works. Bum, 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 bum. Put it in. Great. All done. That's what they do. Can't be any easier than that. You want pre-owned vehicles? They have a full lot of pre-owned vehicles. A full lot of them. And that's, and they go over each one of them with the Submarine Motors guarantee, which means so much. And the service department, QuickLane, by the way, is great. And routine inspections, difficult to handle at all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. All right, so I want to get to the national scene in a moment, but I do want to get into this. When USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon joined the Big Ten, I said, I'll speak to it from a football and basketball perspective. But I said,
Steve,
yes.
We have Coach Griffin on the line.
Oh, my apologies. John, how are you? Great to have you with us today.
Hey, Steve. Thanks. Yeah, I'm well, thank you. How about yourself?
Good, good. Doing all right. Okay, so you go through the early returns. It's just a starting point. What do you like about what you see so far?
I like the competitive effort that we've been putting out there thus far. We've played three home games, bit of a road warrior mentality right now in some difficult college basketball environments. Obviously, the biggest one being the most recent one on Saturday at Kentucky, but we did a nice job of handling some in-game adversity and finding ways to win. Our first two, and I think that's these are three different, totally different college basketball venues that we experienced, and we did a really nice job of figuring out how to win our first two and compete in our third one. So I've seen a lot of good things with a lot of growth to be had ahead.
Matchups mean a lot. So you get into a game with Kentucky. All right. How difficult to, I mean, you're trying to figure out ways to win, but how difficult are the matchups in a game like that?
Well, we had one day preparation, so that didn't help us very much when it comes to just putting our, I would say, best effort out there. But, I have a great staff, and when you have a staff of experts like I do, and I'm so blessed to be around, they uncover every, let's just say, world of preparation, and we try to find individual strengths and weaknesses along with obviously the team strengths and weaknesses and input what we have with our group and see if we can find an algorithm for success. And the Kentucky game comes with a lot of other elements to it, being that it's the Lexington Rupp Arena scene is amazing. We honestly just wanted to compete to the best of our ability as a program. I think that we have earned, I would say, the brand of a team that can go into Rupp and potentially come out of Rupp with a win. Mm-hmm. And I thought what we saw was a Kentucky team that respected our brand and played very well.
When you have a couple of guys, they're averaging 35 points a game between them, between Josh Basco and Nolan Williamson, what kind of balance does that give you on the floor at this particular time?
I mean, it definitely is something that we can rely on from a production standpoint that doesn't necessarily need, in our world, what we call, play calling. This is just individual aspects of the game that helps us win games, more or less. So I would say the Kentucky game where we got off on the wrong foot, no pun intended here, is Rue Bijak, our starting four man, twisted his ankle, and then Noah Williamson, our starting five man, had two fouls in the first 3 minutes. So we had to pivot pretty quickly into almost a different style based on now what our average height would be without those two for extended periods of time. And I think Kentucky really took advantage of that, particularly in the rebounding category.
What's it mean moving forward to that Mata and Edmonds are right behind them? Between the two of them, averaging almost 23 points a game as your third and fourth scorers out there. What is that doing for you? Yeah.
It shows that we have depth, Steve.
Yes.
And we have a team that is singularly focused on the mission at hand, game by game, day by day. And there's a very important poise and maturity that we have in our locker room right now. And that creates balance. I mean, there's a lot of unselfishness and a lot of people with the right mentalities and mindsets as we head into each game. So we're deep. We're a deeper team. We have, 15 guys on our roster, and all 15 guys can make a three. And we've shown that at different points so far in the season, including our exhibition at St. Joe's. And that'll be definitely that depth and the experience and the collective production will be part of the recipe, hopefully, for success.
For whatever reason, I've kind of found of late that the adults are more like, oh, didn't win. And the players are like, oh, I hated losing. All right, what's next? Am I wrong about this, John?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the individual. But, yeah, I do think that nobody likes to lose. I think there's a quicker turnaround nowadays than there's ever been, but part of it is the general societal culture, and the other part is just I would say the psychological findings of how to respond to adversity. You want to learn from the losses, but you don't want to let them linger, and you have to move forward, and you have to be prepared for the next opportunity that you get. And harboring feelings over a loss could really lend itself to another loss. So finding that balance is always difficult, I think, but what I still find is nobody likes to lose.
Yeah. No, I didn't say they like to lose, but they seem to get on task and go, okay, let's go. So far it's been Philadelphia, exhibition, Newark, Evansville, Lexington. Oh, just for a couple laughs, let's play in Lewisburg on Wednesday night. John, what's it going to feel like, do you think, for you and your team to be in your gym?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be nice to be playing in front of, Lewisburg loyal faithful that we have. And we play four straight home games, and I'm looking forward to it for sure. I think our players are really looking forward to it because there is a pretty great energy right now around our program, and to kind of put forth the product in front of our home crowd is always something special for us here in Lewisburg. But at this point, having been on the road for three straight games and settling in at home to be in Lewisburg four straight times is pretty unique, I would say, for the non-conference schedule, and we're excited about it.
Sometimes, though, you learn something when you're on the road. It's just you. It's you against, quote, all of them. What did you learn about your team in the first three games, just being around your team and them being around each other?
Yeah, I would say the main thing that we learned is that they enjoy being around one another. I think there's a camaraderie in our locker room that's very tight-knit, and they care about one another, and they enjoy spending time off the floor with one another, which is just really important. Regardless of where we are in the state of athletics, if you have a team that enjoys being around one another, that's a great starting point. And then the other thing I learned is that, we're tough. We have a resilient group. They're physically tough. They're mentally tough. They can handle in-game adversity, and they can move forward together. And we handled some in-game, potentially game-swinging type of momentum situation scenarios, and we came out on the other side. So there was a lot of positives, and there was a lot of growth opportunities that we will study hard now and really attack.
John, finally, for you, style of play to this point. It's one thing to implement it and put your system in at both ends of the floor in a practice scenario. You've now seen an exhibition in three regular season games. Do you like the way the players are understanding the style of play that you need to win?
Yeah, I mean, I think every game we learn something new, and every opportunity practice-wise after these games, you really have to spend time on, fine-tuning, where you're, I would say, ugliest parts of these games happen. For us, sometimes it's in the middle of the shot clock. Something we have to improve on is getting the ball from one side of the court to the other to move the defense around and potentially create some gaps for us to attack the paint. And then defensively, we just have to continue building upon what our base is right now, which is trying to keep people out of a scoring area near the rim. So I would say that I think that they are trying hard to execute what we want to do on both sides of the ball. And at this point in the year, practices becomes very important because they don't happen as much, and we have to be efficient with the time that we have.
Oh, John, fabulous. Really, I think it's a fabulous start. Keep it going. Got four in a row at home starting on Wednesday night, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck. And look forward to our next conversation, my friend.
All right, Steve. Thanks. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
You bet. John Griffin, head coach at Bucknell. As they've got Mount St. Mary's on Wednesday night at Soika. Just for a change of scenery. Let's try playing at home. Just for a change of scenery. I know what we have. Mike Poorman. Is Mike next half hour?
Mike is next half hour, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. Sounds great. Looking forward to talking with Mike. Because, tell you, you got some interesting games coming up. And you wonder why the SEC and the Big Ten have the chance to have as many as four teams into the playoff. Why? Strength of schedule means a lot. And in the SEC, when you add in Texas and Oklahoma, your strength of schedule in the conference is automatically going to go up. When you're in the Big Ten and you add in Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, it's going to go up. Now, and anybody sitting there saying, well, USC is under 500 and UCLA is under 500. You want to know why they're under 500? Because they lost some games to some guys in the schedule they haven't lost to before. I'm talking about existing Big Ten teams. The games are tough. Look at all the one-score games USC has lost. Look how UCLA is now playing. Look at some of the tough road games that Washington's lost. Oregon's playing great. They're beating everybody. But the schedules are tougher now for everybody. As I said earlier in the offseason, if you are Jed Fish, okay, Dan Lanning, Deshaun Foster, and Lincoln Riley, and the same story for, we just talked to John Griffin, so we'll include basketball here, right? If you are Mick Cronin, Eric Musselman, Dana Altman, and Danny Sprinkle, your jobs just got tougher. Conversely, everybody else in the existing Big Ten, with the addition of those four schools in football and basketball, your jobs just got tougher. That's why I laugh when I hear people say, oh, the strength of schedule. Excuse me, everybody's schedules got tougher. And just so you know, when you add up the conference records in every single conference at the end of the year, guess what they all total out to be?
500.
Exactly. Which means you have some people on the plus side of the ledger and some on the bottom side of the ledger. That doesn't mean the schedule's not tough, because it is. These are almost all really close games. You're not going out there and taking... I mean, now Penn State did win 35-6 over Washington. But how many games in the conference now are one-score games or less than 10? I'm seeing it over and over again. Indiana just had one of those with Michigan. Went 20-15. They get a bye week. So, there you go. But there's some key games coming up. I'll get to in the final half hour about some other games that we need to look at, including Tennessee, Georgia. How about that? Think about that one for a moment, Todd. Like the significance of that game.
This could be amazing. Is if Georgia loses that game, it's going to be wild.
That's what I mean. You're talking about, I mean, look, let's be straight. If Georgia were to lose the game, and the game's in Athens, by the way, that's three losses. They're out of it. I mean, nobody should have any delusion of grandeur that a three-loss team is getting in, unless they happen to be a two-loss team that loses in the conference championship game. Now, that at that point, you can debate it, right? Okay? But to be honest with you, you sit there and you look at where we are right now, you lose three, you're done. It's like, to me, it's an automatic. LSU's now out. They're out. If you have three losses, you're out. 16-team playoff, maybe we can debate it. But 12? Nope.
Didn't Brian Kelly go to LSU because it was going to be easier for him to win a national title?
Okay. No. It's interesting out there. Okay, we'll take a break. More in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucsons with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucsons, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.